Hi, everybody. I want to welcome our guest, Gerrick Deshavan, who is from Collateral Verifications. Gerrick is the head of commercial aviation services and is also a part owner of Collateral Verifications. He is an ISTAT certified senior appraiser, and he's a graduate of Embry-Riddle, and he received his bachelor's degree in aviation business administration with a concentration in international air transport management. Welcome, Gerrick.
Thank you, Addison. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today and speak to our audience who's interested in what's going on in the market. Obviously, the crisis that we're going through today is certainly something that we haven't necessarily seen before. And I think there's a lot of questions out there in terms of what's going to happen going forward. And so, you know, my goal today with the presentation is just to kind of provide some of my viewpoints and hopefully share some insights that will kind of keep people interested and maybe they'll be able to learn something that they hadn't thought about before. I'll start with the initial discussion points that I've put together. There's been a lot of comments in the market about how this crisis compares to previous downturns, and there's been a lot of charts that talk about, you know, especially on the valuation side, you know, here is what happened through the last several downturns, the expectations are going forward. And so I really wanted to, you know, with these points to kind of point out the fact that this is very different from anything that we've seen before. And so I think with that, you really need to be aware when, you know, when someone is talking about maybe some of the value declines that occurred during past downturns, and how that may compare to today, that it's, there really are, you know, some pretty big differences. And so just because, you know, after 9/11 values dropped by, you know, 35% for one aircraft type doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to see the same thing today. And so, you know, when we look at some of the differences, certainly I think the global impact to the industry and to the world is something that is quite a bit different from what we've seen before, where previous downturns, it was kind of regionalized. And as I like to compare it to, you know, the I think some of the previous downturns, you know, it was almost like, you know, the industry was kind of pushed off a cliff, and that's what set off this down, you know, the downturn at that time. I feel that in this environment, you know, it's really someone's come and kind of taken the cliff from under our feet, and we've fallen straight down. And we're at a pretty much a standstill. And so that's, you know, to me, something that why there are so many unknowns in today's environment to figure out, you know, what's going to happen going forward. And, you know, that's why I'm out there kind of talking to as many people as I can every day to figure out, you know, what are some of the indicators that might lead to some of the potential value declines or some of the traffic recoveries, you know, anything that you can pick up on. You know, another point, which obviously will tie to ultimately what aircraft will continue to operate going forward. You know, we're seeing, you know, fuel that's at record lows. You know, obviously, even in the last couple of weeks, because of, you know, future contracts, we saw some negatives in fuel prices. And that will certainly play a role as long as fuel kind of remains at reasonable levels going forward, right? That should be able to provide at least some level of, I hate to use the word stability because we don't know what's going to happen going forward, but for used airplanes, whereas, you know, in potentially when previous downturns where fuel was higher than it is today, that drove airlines to go for, you know, more younger, more fuel efficient aircraft. And that's why some of the used aircraft got hit so hard. This could be slightly different because of that. Capacity cuts by airlines, you know, we're, right now, I think if you look at the TSA throughput, you know, we're at 95% down from a year ago. And so that's really not a good indication for where the market is going, but it really does show you, you know, what, you know, how much airlines have basically grounded the aircraft and what they're going to have to do going forward. And right now, you know, we don't really know what airlines are going to look like 6 months from now. We know that they're certainly going to be smaller based on, I think, all the press releases and all the messaging that they're putting out there. But ultimately, that's going to be what's going to drive what's the level of supply that's going to be out in the marketplace, which, again, that ties to where, you know, aircraft values and lease rates are affected. You know, the travel restrictions, certainly before, again, looking at previous downturns, we weren't necessarily restricted traveling before. Maybe there was the fear of traveling, but in this case, there are certain countries where, the travel has been shut down completely. And so therefore, that's another thing that we haven't seen before. OEMs, I think if we look at all of the manufacturers that are out there today, they're all dealing with different issues, whether it's Boeing with the grounding of the MAX, which is something that was, pre-crisis, but it's still something that that's affecting them today. They're obviously looking at production rate cuts on all aircraft types going forward and not coming back till, 2022 or 2023 in terms of returning to normal levels of production. And that obviously has an impact on the market. It could be positive in the sense that it won't put a lot of new airplanes out there, but it is certainly a change. Airbus is doing the same thing with about a third of a cut in production rates on all of their products. Embraer, obviously now we're dealing with the fact that Boeing has decided to not go through with the joint venture. What's going to happen to them going forward? How does that impact them? And with certain airlines that are talking about retiring some of the older E-jets, will they replace those with the newer E-2s? We haven't seen a ton of new orders for the aircraft. Potentially has some challenges there. The one thing that I will say is somewhat of a positive going into this is I think if you look at a lot of the major airlines, they were going into the industry downturn with a stronger balance sheet to begin with, and they've been able to really kind of go out to the capital markets and raise a good amount of cash over the last 60 days. And so hopefully that kind of lets them go through this crisis, kind of hopefully coming out of it and be in a better shape than they would have been during previous crises.
Garrick, you used half your presentation time on one slide, just FYI.
Okay. Yeah, I end up, I do talk a lot. So I will try to go through these a little bit faster. And I'll remember that in terms of maybe summarizing a little bit more in terms of the list. So as an appraiser, I'm being asked quite a bit in terms of what are aircraft worth today. What's going on in the marketplace? Are there any trades going on? And so one of the challenges that I have or that we have as a community is obviously the fact that there aren't a lot of trades. And when you're trying to figure out value trends or lease rate trends, typically appraisers will try to reflect the market with what's going on. When there is a lack of transaction, then it becomes very challenging. So you have to start thinking about what else can we look at to where valuation trends are going. And so one of the ways that I've been kind of looking at the market over the last 60 days, trying to pick up on any points or any indicators that would allow for kind of getting a sense for where values are going, is looking at it from the standpoint of if it's from an aircraft investment where, if you're looking at an aircraft with a lease attached and you're trying to determine a lease encumbered value, there are certain trigger points that investors will look at that will adjust the value up or down based on how those factors are impacted. And so looking through, there's the airline credit risk, which, we've seen in the last 60 days, we've seen cost of capital for airlines go up. And when you apply that to a kind of a present value calculation, right? If the risk goes up and everything else stays the same, the pricing goes down. And so that has allowed me to kind of see where some of the potential value declines could be going forward. Another is obviously the monthly cash flow, which as a monthly lease rate changes, that will also affect ultimately what somebody's going to be willing to pay up front. And so that'll adjust the value. Right now in the lease rate, we're not necessarily seeing a lot of changes just because there aren't a lot of used aircraft that are being placed. So that data is hard to get at this point, but that will change obviously as lessors start to have to place aircraft going forward. And the last piece of that is the residual value adjustment. One indication, especially with used airplanes that I'm getting out there is looking at kind of the part out scenario and figuring out, at the end of the lease, what investors can get for the aircraft from a part out standpoint. And the message that I'm getting from part out firms today is that their pricing obviously has changed based on the fact that they're viewing assets more risky and they're shifting their strategies a little bit. And so that gives me an indication of where values are going based on that. So the next couple of slides is really just, you know, talking about how values reacted over the last couple of downturns. And it's really just to give you some guidance as to what that looked like at that point based on the environment that was around the previous downturns. And again, you know, because of my point at the beginning of the presentation where it's this time around, it is quite different. It's not something to say that, hey, look, you know, if you look back at the financial crisis or after 9/11, this is what's going to happen. But this does provide some guidance so that as we start to see potentially some similar patterns that emerge, you will start, you know, that may have some similarities in terms of where values may be for out of production aircraft versus in production, and whether it's on the single aisle versus the twin aisle. And so again, the first slide, this is really more to show you kind of the current market value trends. And then the next slide, if we can show that as well, is kind of shows you the monthly lease rate trends. And following that would be the trends that I'm currently seeing today. These are as of April of 2020. And so some of that is in terms of coming up with that, the value decline ranges, some of that comes from the factors that I talked about before, which looks at the airline credit, looks at the residual value adjustments. And some of that is from a few of the data points that have been out there from some of the sources that I have that will kind of show where the value adjustments, you know, have been in deals that have been looked at. Obviously, this is just kind of a current iteration of where the trends are going. Ultimately, going forward, as more trades start to occur, right, those numbers will probably change, assuming that if things don't necessarily materially get better, those numbers may actually get worse going forward. But for now, it just kind of gives you an indication of what I've seen in terms of the value changes for each of the different aircraft categories. And the last couple of slides that I have, one talks about just kind of the aircraft storage. And I thought it was interesting to kind of look to see over the last couple of downturns, what the numbers were going into the downturn and then when it started to go down once again versus where we are today. And I think it's very telling when you're looking at, you know, kind of during previous downturns, you were in that that kind of 10 to 11% of the fleet that was stored. Whereas, you know, today we're seeing 59% of the fleet that's stored. So it's obviously a pretty big difference. It's not necessarily telling of what the fleet is going to look like 6 months from now in terms of how many are going to be stored, but it does kind of show you, you know, the unprecedented environment that we're in today, where airlines just have been, you know, have been forced to ground their fleet, and we'll see what ultimately comes out of that. You know, if we want to go to the next slide, that kind of shows some of the storage costs. You know, I think what's important with this, which I found interesting, is just even though aircraft are grounded, there is still a cost to them being grounded. And so therefore, for an airline, you know, when they talk about the amount of cash that they're burning each day, right, this is a portion of that that's incorporated in that. And depending on the number of aircraft that are stored throughout the world, right, this kind of shows you by region, the costs that are involved, not only in putting an aircraft in storage, also you've got the monthly storage fees, and then also you have the fees to take the aircraft out of storage. And with kind of looking back at the fact that we have 59% of the fleet that's stored, there could be some potential bottlenecking that occurs when we start to see airlines try to get aircraft back out of storage. And that may, you know, kind of create some issues for airlines to do that quickly. And I think from an airline standpoint, you kind of have to think about what the overall strategy is going to be going forward to make sure that you can do that efficiently. But I felt that this was, you know, fairly interesting in terms of what the numbers look like. And then the last slide that I have shows kind of some of the major U.S. airlines and what they're dealing with, you know, to store the aircraft that they have. And keep in mind that these are based on average storage costs for long-term storage.
Okay. How long was that, Ernie?
About 20,